Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom. Ik ben Aure Power. Ik ben in het charmante gezelschap van Sharon Kipps. En we kennen haar allemaal als winnares van The X Factor. En wat Sharon nu doet en hoe ze zich inzet voor haar naasten, gaat ze straks vertellen in Hour of Power. Heel fijn dat je er bent, Sharon. Geweldig. En dan hebben we een zanger uit een heavy metal band. Echt iemand met zware tatoeages en een buitenkant waarvan je schrikt. Maar hij gaat vertellen over de verandering die in zijn leven heeft plaatsgevonden en hoe zijn binnenkant er totaal anders uitziet. Dat en heel veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. Van harte welkom.
Join us today for the best hour on television, The Hour of Power with Robert Schuller.
Morning. I'm Robert Schuller, and I'm the senior pastor of the Crystal Cathedral, and I want to welcome you here, and I want to give you all an opportunity to feel the warmth of Christ that is here in this place today, and to welcome those and to share that love with those who are standing next to you and behind you. Would you please reach out, shake one another's hand, and say, God loves you, and so do I. So with that, I want to invite you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves, who cares. You're God who reaches out and touches hearts and minds with the reality of who you are. And so, oh Lord, we come to you today as people who need to know more of you. So reveal yourself to us throughout this worship service that we might understand your fullness as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A triune God who loves and cares for every human being on planet Earth today. So we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen.
Thank you. may be seated. We come to church, and every time we're here, we come with a collection of memories of the past 6 days or maybe month. And I had some experiences this week. They're heavy in my memory or light in my memory. I want to share one with you for just a minute. I was one of 6 ministers chosen by some group that felt that all of those, and we were over 70, that we should tell young ministers what we've learned, what perceptions. And so they chose us to come to Billy Graham's retreat. And we spent a couple of days together. It was very meaningful. When Christ lives in a person, it really shows. Now, as we continue this morning's worship service, hear these words of praise from the book of Psalms. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Sing to the Lord, oh, sing a new song to the Lord. All the earth, sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. This is the word of our Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, orchestra. Thank you, choir. Appreciate their music so much. It wouldn't be the Christ Cathedral without the orchestra and the choir. I'll tell you, it's just spectacular. Well, my guest today is Brian Head Welch, the former guitarist of Korn, one of the most successful heavy metal bands of all time. Brian quickly learned that the fame and accolades he achieved had a very dark side, and he developed a crippling addiction to meth, alcohol, and other damaging behaviors. After years of suffering through his addiction, Brian walked into a church in 2005 and gave his life to Christ. Today, he has captured his incredible true life story in his new book, Washed by Blood. Would you please welcome with me Brian Head Welch? Brian, God loves you, and so do I.
Thank you.
I think you're better dressed for the weather today than I am.
Yeah.
Quite warm. You know, at the last service, I took my jacket off, so I'm going to take it off again this service.
All right.
And I'm doing this just for you, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no personal motivation in me taking my jacket off by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm kidding, of course. But take us back to the Korn days. What was it like being a member of the band? And what was some of the dark side that you had to face?
It was a wild, wild ride. We just... A bunch of crazy kids grew up together into heavy metal and just started playing in some bands around Bakersfield, California, and ended up moving to L.A. And we got a record deal. You know, we got our singer, and it just kind of clicked, and people noticed. And next thing you know, I was touring with my childhood heroes, Ozzy Osbourne, and it was just a while. It was like kind of going like a frat party. It just kept going, and it was, you know, wild boys having fun, you know, drinking, playing heavy metal. And then as the years went by, the drugs progressed and the party got heavier, and the alcohol wasn't enough. And then we moved up to, you know, marijuana and cocaine, and then I ended up with a crippling addiction to methamphetamines towards the end.
So what is it like to be addicted to drugs and alcohol?
They kind of make you feel normal after a while. You feel sick when you're not doing them. And, you know, at first you drink, you know, just enough to get a little buzz, and then the drugs kick in and you're like high for a little bit and you're laughing and you think it's feeling good, and then all of a sudden it turns on you and becomes just an addiction that you can't live without. And then the fun goes away. The smiles go away, the laughter goes away, the depression sets in, and you just become a slave to it.
So it takes over your life.
Totally. Your emotions. I was mixing so many drugs, I was out of my mind thinking that I wish I would just die because I got my childhood dream came true, and I'm like miserable and a drug addict, and I felt like I was no good for anybody.
I think it's a wonder that you didn't die.
Yeah,
I think it's the hand of God. He didn't want you to.
Yes.
And when your daughter was born, something clicked within you. Tell us what happened.
Yes, I felt a love in, you know, just pour into me when I saw my child born, and I was like, wow, this is what life is about. I'm going to be clean. I'm going to do it this time. I got cleaned up. I started eating right. I stopped every drug and alcohol, and I was working out, and I felt great. And then our album came out, and I had to go tour in Japan. And right when I got to Japan, free beer and all these bands, and I got right back, started smoking, drinking again, quit working out, and it just kind of went downhill from there. And not even the birth of and that love that I felt for my daughter could set me free from the addiction that just kept coming back.
I tried
everything,
and it just had a hold of your soul.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then what really was the impetus that would really brought you to a church in 2005? You just walked into a church. Why did you do that?
Well, I had a couple I was a closet junkie, so I had a couple real estate friends I was doing business with. You know, I was like a junkie behind closed doors, but in front of people, I was like, you know, Mr. Together. And I was doing all these big real estate deals, and they They invited me to church because I was sending them emails and just, I think they could sense how I wasn't happy. And I wanted to go, but I didn't want to go because I was like, I was a rock star, you know, and I didn't want to go into a church all high on meth, because I did. I stayed up all night when I went to that church, but I went there and the pastor put up the scripture, which I have on my neck, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I was so, I mean, I try to explain how much of a gutter I was in, but the words can't express how in hell I was. And when I saw that scripture, it just felt like a big old tall, like a big old Gatorade bottle this size of this room, and I was stranded in a desert. And I was just, I wanted it to be true. I didn't know. And he said, if you just hang out with Jesus and talk to him, that he would take all the bad things to fall off in your life. So I went home and I did drugs and talked to Jesus and said, Lord, you know I don't want to do this stuff. I got to live for my kid. I'm going to die if I keep going. If you're real, like he says, please take these from me. And within a couple of weeks, I felt the presence of God come into my house where I was doing drugs. And I felt him just, I didn't hear him. I just felt his love, and I instantly just threw the drugs away, and I've been changed ever since, and I just love God. I'm so thankful that he spared me.
You have another favorite verse on your arm you shared with me earlier.
Yes.
You want to read that?
Yeah, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties.
I didn't see that side before.
For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because, you know, when I first got saved, I thought everything was going to be great, you know, and easy, and, you know, oh, this is what I, you know, easy life. But it's a struggle, and I just, he's teaching me how weakness is okay, and that he's strong, and he always turns things around for good, and everything is always okay because he's in charge,
And then you have a picture of Christ there around it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, I think that's where we got it from. And I decided to place my daughter's portrait right underneath Jesus because he's watching over her. And and then some other kids off a Korn album, you know, Untouchables. It symbolizes abused kids, which I want to go, I want to help and stuff like that. So
you're dedicating your life now to helping people, make a difference in the world, aren't you?
Yeah, with my music, you know, I tried to change my music style because I thought God would want me to be lighter and stuff, and he led me to go to just be who I am, you know, and do the heavy music with a heavy message and reach these kids, you know, that I love that stuff, and I love it too. And he changed me inside, and I still look ragged on the outside, but my heart's new, and it's all good. He's good.
One of the things the Bible tells us to do is to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And you did that. Tell us about your baptism.
Well, that came as a gift from God, because I was just fresh off of drugs in my new life. And the pastor of the church called me and he said, somebody, we have a trip planned to Israel, and somebody just backed out and there's a free ticket. Do you want to go? And I was like, and he's like, Jesus got baptized there. You can get baptized in the same river. And I was like, I don't know, but yeah, let's go. Let's just go. And I went there. It was awesome. But there was a lot of press because it was such a, I mean, I was pretty outspoken. I went and chased a rapper down and told him that he needs to be saved. And so I was getting all this like weird press. And, but you know, I could laugh at myself now, but, I went there and tried to get away, but there was cameras waiting for me there. And CNN, MTV was there, so they got to film me being baptized. But it was a really good experience. I felt the Lord change me, and His presence was there, and it was cool.
What was the best part of the experience of being baptized?
Just the presence, you know. And I just knew that I was, you know, I was symbolizing just dying to myself, you know. And it was just a completion, and it was the act of faith that God was changing me right there, and that started the process of the old man going under and the new man coming up, you know?
So you've written a book. It's entitled Washed by Blood. And what do you hope people get out of this book?
Just that, you know, God's grace and mercy. I I partied like I was Satan himself for so many years, and I deserved, you know, to be separated from him forever. And he just, you know, he could have came down and said, well, I saw you do this. I saw you, you know, judge. But all he said was, I love you. And the presence of love came over me, and it changed me. And he's just so awesome, you know.
There's still a lot of people who listen to your music and love your music. And you have a message for your fans. Yeah. What is your message?
My struggles with drugs and freedom. And I hope that it would open people's hearts that have been closed to God, you know, and they can get touched by God in a new way. You know, some of these people won't step into churches, but if we go out there and reach them in ways that, with our gifts that God's given us, you know, maybe they'll get to know him like we do. So I just love them, and hopefully they'll get touched by the music.
Well, Brian, I want to have a prayer for you, because I know you're reaching people that I'll never reach, and God's using you in a powerful way. And so, God, continue to fill Brian's head, his heart, and his soul with your love.
Thank you.
Put a protective shield around him and his daughter and his family and his friends, and allow that protective shield to be penetrated with your love. And may his love flowing through Brian reach everyone who comes in contact with him. And so we thank you, Lord, for coming and calling Brian and touching his soul and bringing him to a new life with you. We love you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Brian.
God bless you.
God loves you, and so do we.
Right on. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Pathways are chosen. Years go by. Feelings get frozen. Tear ducts run dry. It's time to move on now. So I'll try to forget all the ways that you hurt me, all the rage and regret. Where do we begin? Tell me how. Across that long, long bridge on the road to forgiveness and the healing of the heart. How did we get here? Standing face to face on this bridge that could crumble beneath us, such a dangerous place. We reach out our hands now, so fragile, so frail. Oh God, are you with us? What if we fail? How? Oh, tell me, where do we begin? Somebody tell me how. How do we even start? How do we start to walk? To walk across that long, long bridge on the road to forgiveness. and the healing of the heart. Long way to forgiveness and the healing of the heart.
Dat zingt hij met een ongelooflijke passie, toewijding en expressie op zijn gezicht. De blinde zanger Ken Miedema. En de inhoud van zijn zelfgeschreven lied zegt het allemaal. Dat er genezing en vergeving is. Genezing van je hart. Nou, zingen, dat doet Sharon Kipps ook. We kennen haar allemaal sinds The X Factor. En daarin werd zij de onbetwiste winnares naar een bloedzinderende finale. Die ligt inmiddels een paar jaar achter haar. Sharon, wat hebben jullie in de tussentijd allemaal gedaan? Hey, leuk dat je er bent weer.
Dankjewel. Ja. Leuk om weer te zijn.
Wederzijds.
wat heb ik in de tussentijd gedaan? Veel opgetreden, gezongen, van alles gedaan. Children Asking dingen voor gedaan natuurlijk. Hè? De organisatie uit Brazilië waar ik de ambassadeur van ben.
Vertel even van die straatkinderen in Brazilië waar je het lot van aantrekt. Hoe staan zij ervoor?
Nou, zover ik weet nog steeds hetzelfde als voorheen. Alleen wel dat de kinderen nu naar school kunnen gaan. Dus de kinderen uit de favelas, uit de sloppenwijken, die kunnen nu naar school dankzij Children Asking. En die krijgt de evangelie op die manier ook mee. Dus hoop voor de toekomst.
Je hebt er zelf tussen gelopen. Je bent er een aantal dagen geweest. Hoe beleef je dat?
Hoe kan je het omschrijven? Je loopt daar rond en je ziet armoede. Je ziet mensen die zo leven omdat ze niet anders weten eigenlijk. Maar bovenal zie je kinderen die geen toekomst, niks anders te bieden krijgen eigenlijk dan wat ze daar zien.
Ja.
En dat is drugs, geweld, prostitutie, drugsbaronnen, noem maar op. Dat is criminaliteit ten
top. Word je dan kwaad?
Ja, dan word je best kwaad. Omdat je aan de rechterkant zie je zeg maar dus aan de linkerkant heb je sloppenwijken. Aan de rechterkant zie je de wolkenkrabbers, de snelweg en de rijkdom van de stad. En dan schrik je wel. Dan denk je, hoe kan dat? Hoe kan het dat de regering van Brazilië daar niks aan doet? En eigenlijk niet omziet naar de mensen, naar hun eigen volk eigenlijk.
Ja. Je hebt met die kinderen op je arm gezeten. Je hebt met die kinderen gespeeld. Je hebt ook een liedje over geschreven.
Ik heb zelf geen lied geschreven, maar ik heb een lied gezongen dat heet Preciso de Ti. En dat is Ik Verlang Naar U. Eigenlijk een lied naar God
gezongen. Je weet al wat ik ga vragen. Laat het even horen.
Oké.
Een stukje.
Ja. Preciso de ti. Preciso do teu perdão. Preciso de ti. Quebranta meu coração. Como a corça anseia por água, assim medio sede. Como terra seca, assim em minha alma, preciso de ti. En dan in Nederlands. Ver van u, mijn God, was het donker en koud, maar ik heb mijn zonden berouwd. Ik hoorde uw klacht, o Heer, zoals u uitkeek naar mij, zo verlang ik naar u. Enzovoort.
Wat me frappeert is dat de roem, hè, je bent een hele bekende zangeres geworden ineens, van een onbekend lief meisje met krulletjes wat daar op een podium staat te zingen en door allerlei, toch de winnares wordt van waar duizenden, tienduizenden jongeren van hoopten dat ze het zouden worden, namelijk de ster van de X Factor. Maar je bent altijd heel dicht bij God gebleven. Je hebt je niet gek laten maken door, toch?
Ja, door wat dan ook. Hoe doe je dat? ja, hoe leef je dicht bij God? In gebed zijn en zijn woord lezen, de Bijbel. Dat is echt hoe je zo dicht mogelijk bij het voorbeeld wat Jezus heeft gedaan op aarde hier. Op die manier kun je zo dicht mogelijk bij God blijven leven.
En toch ben je geaccepteerd in de muziekwereld.
Ja, why not? Weet je wel? En dat is wat ik mooi vind aan, gewoon mensen het algemeen. Mensen accepteren, accepteren je zoals je bent. En wat er ook bij komt kijken, je uiterlijk, hoe je reageert je, en ook je religie waar je in gelooft.
Ja. Ik heb een vraag die ik al heel lang heb willen vragen. Eigenlijk toen ik je voor het eerst op televisie zag, toen ik je niet eens kende. Ja. Hoe lang doe je erover om die krullen in je haar te krijgen?
Nou, dat gaat vanzelf. Dat is natuurlijk. Ik doe er niks aan.
Nee, je
dan? Nee, dat is echt... ik sta op en het is zo. Nou, niet helemaal, maar goed. Okay.
Nou, die krullenbol kijken we binnenkort... miljoenen mensen over de hele wereld. Nou, vertel het zelf maar.
Ik mag op 30 november, mag ik op de Dutch Sunday, mag ik gaan zingen in de Crystal Cathedral in Los Angeles. Dus,
zo.
Daar ben ik heel erg blij mee. Ik zie er ontzettend naar uit. Een hele uitdaging.
Wij ook.
Ja.
Ja, de Dominee Schuller en alle anderen zijn ook erg blij dat je komt.
Super.
Ze hadden echt tegen ons gezegd, liefste koningin. En toen zeiden ze, nee, we hebben de koningin van de Nederlandse muziek. En dat is Sharon, dus jij bent het geworden. Maar ze hadden graag ook Hare Majesteit gehad. Ja, dat, ik ben blij dat jij daar gaat optreden. Leuk, want we gaan er met honderden mensen naartoe.
Ja.
En je gaat ook iets over je levensverhaal vertellen. Want je bent ook, zoals het heet, gast in de Crystal Cathedral. Naast het zingen.
Klopt, ja. Ik heb een kort interview met dominee Robert Schuller.
Ja.
Dus ik ben heel, heel benieuwd. Ja.
Ja joh, en dan volgen snel daarop de kerstconcerten in december.
Ja, ja. Het wordt druk met Out of Power.
Ja. Ja, maar dat vind je niet erg, want je hoort bij ons hè?
Ja,
ja precies. Ja. En wij bij jou hoor, we horen allemaal bij dezelfde God, dat is nog belangrijker.
Amen, zo is het.
Ik weet dat jij vorig jaar in de lounge keek, toen was je even te gast om iets te vertellen. En dat ik aan je vroeg, wil je Stille Nacht zingen? En echt waar, ik heb van heel veel mensen gehoord. Dat ze eigenlijk dat het hele allermooiste vonden. Wat je zo spontaan, solo, zonder muziek, zonder begeleiding vond. En ik ook. Ik was ook geraakt in mijn hart. Dus ik hoop, Sharon, we laten zo meteen zien hoe je de kerstconcerten kunt meemaken. Ik hoop dat je heel veel harten zult raken.
Okay.
Met die prachtige boodschap. De kerst, mooie tijd. We zitten hier nog even te genieten van de nazomer in oktober.
Ja.
Een heerlijke, heerlijke tijd. Ja. Ja. Die koester ik hoor.
Ja.
Maar kijk jij even in de camera. Want ik kan het ook proberen. Maar het lukt mij nooit. Roep jij nou eens de mensen op die denken van. Nou zou ik nou wel of niet naar een kerstconcert gaan. Want we zitten in Drachten. We zitten in Rotterdam. In Apeldoorn. In Maastricht. We komen het hele land door. Om te komen.
Ja.
Daar.
Nou, ik nodig u van harte uit. Om de kerstconcerten mee te maken. In heel het land. Kies een plekje uit wat het dichtst bij u is en geniet. Het wordt een avond vol van muzikale bezinning. Noem maar op. Geweldige internationale artiesten. Daniel Rodriguez. Ja, ik weet het. Daniel Rodriguez. Jimmy Earl Perry. Ja, en ik mag er ook deel van uitmaken.
En
het orkest en koor. Orkest van Una Voce Particolare. Ja, dus echt, het wordt heel erg mooi.
Ja. Je hebt u gezegd, nou de jij is nog. Hè?
Oh ja, en jij ook, hè?
Oké. Okay. Hey, ontzettend fijn dat je vanmorgen hier aanwezig wilde zijn. Je bent een stralende getuige. Kijk, je gaat straks naar de cathedral. Daar kun je alvast voorbereiden, want dit boek gaat over de ontstaansgeschiedenis van dat grote terrein en die mooie kerk.
Mooi.
Dus bereid je er even op voor.
Super.
Ja, ik zit nou even te kanselen. Kijk, straks sta je hier. Zie je wel? Leuk, hè?
Ik kan me daar nou echt geen voorstelling van. Dan zie je dat zo, maar dat moet je toch echt daar meemaken, denk ik.
Nou, geniet ervan als voorbereiding. En wij, en nogmaals hartelijk dank dat je er was.
Ja,
ja en natuurlijk vragen velen van u zich af, hoe kunnen we nou bezoeker worden van een van die kerstconcerten waar die onvergetelijk zullen zijn? Nou, dat vertellen we u graag. We hopen dat u kunt komen, dat jij kunt komen. En we laten nu zien hoe.
Of Power organiseert ook dit jaar sfeervolle kerstconcerten, verspreid over het hele land. U kunt genieten van de ontmoeting met elkaar en prachtige muziek die verzorgd wordt door absolute topartiesten. Daniel Rodriguez, Sharon Kipps en Jimmy Earl Perry staan garant voor een reeks onvergetelijke concerten. De muzikale omlijsting is in handen van het bekende tv-orkest L'Orchestra Particulare. En ook dit jaar heeft Hour of Power voor u het geweldige koor The Choir Company. Alle elementen zijn aanwezig voor een adembenemend concert. U bent daarbij van harte welkom. Op zaterdag 13 december beginnen de kerstconcerten in de Utrechtse Vredenburg, Leidse Rijn. Maandag 15 december bent u van harte welkom in de Pieterskerk te Leiden. En een dag later in de Rotterdamse Laurenskerk. Op woensdag 17 december in de Bethel in het Friese Drachten. Op vrijdag 19 december zijn we in het uiterste zuiden in de Mek te Maastricht. Het slotconcert, een grootse finale met ook de medewerking van de meidengroep Excess in de Arnhemse Rijnhal op zaterdag 20 december. Op www.kerstconcerten2008.nl kunt u uw toegangskaarten reserveren. Ook vindt u hier interviews met artiesten en uitgebreide informatie per concertlocatie. Of bel met ons kantoor om een bestelkaart aan te vragen. 035 538 0588.
When you think you have all the answers, you don't. And the fact is that nobody has all the answers. Life is complex. Life is full of mysteries. And as a result of that, no one has all the answers. You know, Jesus was very deliberate in his messages and in his statements. And I'm going to read today from Matthew 7. It's the words of Jesus Christ. It says this, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye. In ignorance, we make statements and make projections that do not share the love of Jesus Christ. And the greatest commandment of all was summarized in these things: love one another as I have loved you, said Jesus. In psychology, when criticism is understood, it's known as projection. So that we as individuals, when we criticize and are negative towards others, we're really projecting our own emotional garbage and backgrounds, and we criticize others. So that old statement where one finger pointing at somebody else has three fingers pointing back at you is very true. It's been proven psychologically. It's known as projection. And we do this. Arrogance and ignorance. There are two words that sound similar and have similar meanings. Proverbs 16:9 says this: in their hearts, human beings plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. We make plans, we make ideas, we have hopes, we have dreams, we're working towards our destination, and all of a sudden we get news. Tragic news. Bad news. News of a crisis. Cancer. Foreclosure. Death of a family member, a son, a child. And all of a sudden, the steps, the plans, the thoughts, the directions that we had always created for ourselves take an immediate right-hand turn or a left-hand turn, and life has changed in the blink of an eye. I had a dear friend of mine, Rusty Turner. He was about my age when he contracted cancer. It was oral cancer. And he put up a good fight against that disease. He fought it for several years, and it kept coming back. And I watched him just slowly melt away. And he was down to about 100 pounds. And a meager existence. And the end was pretty close. And I went and counseled him, and I said, Rusty, are you ready to die? And he said, yeah, I'm very ready to die. And then he said something that I wrote down and I'll keep with me the rest of my life. He says, I don't know the hand of God, but I know that he has his hand on me. And that is the understanding and the realization that we need to come to as people of faith, to embrace the mysteries of God. That we do not have all the answers. And when you think you do, you don't. That there are answers in life that continue to twist and turn so that we can live the Christian life that God has called us to live. Not one of criticism, but one of love. Not one of pointing fingers at other people, but one of an open hand inviting people in. Not coming to conclusions about a certain individual who happens to walk in a room. I know when Brian and I walked in this room, I saw everybody looking at Brian. I don't think there was a single eye looking at anything but Brian. Brian walks in with not one big ponytail on the back, not two pigtails, but eight long braids. And I looked very carefully. They're real. They're his hair. He didn't just stick them on. It's not a wig he's wearing. He's real. If I see somebody on the street like that, I've got to be honest with you. Certain characteristics and emotions come across that are critical. And they're not necessarily ones of, oh, there goes a wonderful Christian man. And yet, God loves everybody, and he doesn't make his judgments upon how we look where we have the hair a certain way and we don't have any tattoos on us and we're wearing the right clothes and wearing a suit and a tie, therefore, he's good. He's not. God doesn't judge us by what we wear. He doesn't judge us by the way we do our hair. But the fact is that God judges us by what's in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds. You know, the Christian faith has many mysteries. And many of these mysteries will never be answered. And that's why the Christian faith is called the Christian faith, because it requires us to take an actual step in faith and to believe. Because the answers that we need are found within the Bible. There are not every answer to every question in the entire world is found within the Bible, but every answer that we need in life is found within the Bible. And that's why it's spelled B-I-B-L-E. Basic information before leaving Earth. Okay? So you have everything you need. You have the power that you need for life within these pages. And as we put our faith within this, and even though there's so many mysteries, for instance, how many days do we have before we come face to face with Jesus Christ? Only God knows. Only God knows. And so there are mysteries. And when I experience bad news and crises, I rely upon my faith. My faith upon these words that we have within the Bible. And so when I experience bad news and crises, does it rock my faith? No. My faith has been and is rocking me. And that's the difference. Faith means we just jump in with both feet. There comes a point where you have to put your whole self in. And you put your whole self in and you jump in with both feet. And when you do that, you are grounded in a faith that has the ability to change your life forever. Perfect example. Brian Welch. What a changed life. He jumped in with both feet. And then he was baptized. And it changed his life forever. Did he have all his questions answered? No way. There are mysteries that will always be out there. Questions that cannot be answered. But the ones that are important are here. And the truth is, the sooner you jump in, the sooner you're going to find relief and opportunities and healing and hope and faith. And when we do, we can exemplify that faith. My son, Robert Vernon Schuller, he was talking with a gentleman, and this guy was a piano player. My son's a piano player. In fact, he loves jazz. He's a tremendous jazz player. If you ever have a chance to hear him play the piano, he'll probably play some jazz for you, and he's written some music. And anyway, he was listening to this guy play. He was talking to this guy about playing the piano, and he says, well, if you want to hear me play, I have a meeting tonight. And if you'll come to my meeting tonight, I'll not only play, I'll dedicate a song to you. And I don't think Bobby believed it. He was in high school, and he was going through some tough times, but he went to the meeting anyway. And the guy went to the piano. He says, you know what? I was talking with a young man today, and I said I was going to dedicate this song to him. I don't know whether he's here or not, but this song's for this young man I was talking to today. Bobby knew it was him. He knew he was talking about him. And he said, I saw faith exemplified. And that made all the difference. He saw faith in action. And that's what worked. And today, he and my other son are in Nepal. They're in Nepal. What they're doing is they're giving eye exams to men and to women who live there and don't have glasses. They can't afford them. They don't have the examinations. And they're giving glasses to people who otherwise would not be able to read. And we got a report this morning. In fact, my youngest son, Anthony, called my wife and I today and said it's been the most amazing experience. He said 25 people yesterday committed themselves to Jesus Christ. And today another 15 people committed themselves to Jesus Christ. And he says God's doing some amazing things here in Nepal. And God is alive and he's real. And he's calling people around the world to come and to experience faith and hope through Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening in our world today. Faith is faith exemplified. It means doing what we can do, when we can, and how we can. Helen Keller, who was blind, deaf, and mute, said these words. She said, "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. I will not refuse to do the something I can do." And so, I encourage you today to do the things you can do, to express the love of Jesus Christ by reaching out with an open hand, embracing and loving all people, regardless of what they look like, regardless of what they smell like, regardless of what perceptions you might have upon what they should be. Allow the love of Jesus Christ to flow through you and love everybody. This morning we're going to have an opportunity, you're going to have an opportunity to be baptized. And if you've never been baptized, I invite you to come today after the music is played, after the benediction is given, and as everybody is leaving the church today, I know some of you who have never been baptized want to be baptized, and you can be baptized today. I'm going to come to the front of the church, and if you want to be baptized, I'll baptize you. So I invite you to do that today. So when everybody else is leaving the church, come to the front and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God, given to us and commanded by Christ to do, to repent and be baptized. And so it is that we don't have all the answers. In fact, when you think you have all the answers, you don't. And so, take a leap of faith and jump in today with both feet. God's calling. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who continues to reach hearts and souls and minds with your goodness, your grace, and your power. And so we stand before you in awe of your love exemplified. And so we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen. Now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit touch your hearts and your minds with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And may that love flow through you to everyone you meet today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
prachtige uitspraak van Dominee Schuller. Daar moest ik best even over nadenken. Als je denkt dat je alle antwoorden hebt, vergis je je. En ja, hoe makkelijk denken we vaak niet. Nou, u geniet denk ik van de uitzendingen van Hour of Power. En heel veel mensen kijken wekelijks naar onze uitzendingen. En dank u wel dat u ons wilt steunen. Daar vroegen we net om. Hour of Power is in beweging. Niet alleen televisieuitzendingen, maar ook nog heel veel activiteiten in het land. Ik noem er een paar. De ontmoetingsmiddagen binnenkort in Amsterdam en in Almere. En u bent daar van harte welkom om zo gezellig met ons kennis te maken. Een kopje koffie, thee te drinken en uw vragen te stellen. En dan hebben we natuurlijk over, Sharon vertelde het al, de reis, de jubileumreis naar de Crystal Cathedral, waar Dominee Schuller gaat ontmoeten. En wat heel leuk is, het koor van de Crystal Cathedral, dat fantastische koor, dat gaat met alle Nederlanders die er zijn studeren, een lied in studeren en kijken hoe we beter kunnen zingen. Don Noemen, de dirigent, die vindt dat fantastisch om te doen. En de koorleden ook. En dan natuurlijk onze kerstconcerten. Nou, al die informatie is te vinden op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. En ook de dienst van vandaag kunt u daarop nakijken. En ook de diensten van de afgelopen maanden en zelfs jaren. Heel fijn dat u heeft gekeken. Ik wens u een hele goede en gezegende zondag toe. En graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.